Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham.
Well, all right, we are back. Welcome, everybody, back to the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, January 9th, 2015. I got to remember to say 15. And I'm excited. I'm always excited to do the show, but I'm particularly excited when we get to do new things. One of these new things is going to be talking about games of the past. We spend a lot of time on our show talking about games of the present and the near future. So we're gonna have a fun conversation. But the other reason I'm excited is that we have a new guest on the Press Row Podcast, Mr. Chris Baker. Chris Baker, welcome to the Press Row Podcast, sir.
Thanks for having me, Rich. It's an honor to be here. You've been one of my favorite guests on the Player One Podcast, which I've listened to, I believe, every single episode of, because those are old friends of mine who do that, even though I am the enemy of the show.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because I don't think I'm allowed to actually be doing this interview right now. So we'll just keep this between you and me. How about that?
I'm good with that. If you are, I could work toward my ultimate plan to thwart them. I don't know what that means exactly, but one of these days I will thwart the Player One Podcast. Mwahaha.
So, yes, Mr. Chris Baker, welcome to the show. This is your first time appearing on the show, although we have technically been on the same podcast. It was episode 300 of the Player One Podcast, where you were kind enough to send in an audio message. So
I guess that's true, yes. Yes, me and Sean Smith, as I recall, we were at San Diego Comic-Con together, and we recorded a message at that point. That was cool.
So we are here to talk about something a little different. Obviously, still sports games, but it is early January. It's snowing here in the Northeast. Chris is in New York. I'm in New Jersey. So, what better time to talk about baseball games from the 90s? Right.
That's what I'm saying. You hit me up a couple days ago to do a baseball podcast. I was like, single digits in January, that is exactly what I'm thinking baseball.
That's right.
Although I've got to say, today, Craig Biggio, my all-time favorite athlete of all time, was voted into the Hall of Fame. And so this is probably my biggest baseball day between that and this podcast as an Astros fan since Biggio was on the team, which has been like 7 years now.
Wow. So
8 years maybe?
So
a while.
We got to figure this out. So, Chris Baker, you spent years writing about video games.
I did.
You spent years working for Marvel, which I also want to talk about. And you are now an author of a new book called Wrong, Retro Games You Messed Up Are Comic Book Heroes, which is available on Amazon. We'll make sure that that everybody knows how to go get that. But before we get into all that, wait a second. You're an Astros fan? How does that happen?
I grew up in Houston. I lived in Houston until I was 12.
Okay.
So those were very much my kind of formative years. I am also a diehard Oilers fan, which, they hadn't won a game since they existed, since they don't anymore. I don't really care about the Texans because I wasn't in Texas when they were a thing. So, I was a very hardcore Houston sports fan in the 80s and going into basically until Biggio retired and for basketball when Hakeem Olajuwon retired.
So then one of my greatest sports moments is probably one of your worst sports moments, and that would be...
Are you a Bills fan?
I am a Mets fan. And
Oh, yes.
The 1986 National League Championship Series, the 16-inning marathon game
season
in Houston. Mike Scott... I mean, that game, we could do an entire podcast on that.
Absolutely.
So that was an amazing Astros team.
I have some stuff to talk about later when we talk about a certain game that involves that Astros team. The pitching staff especially was amazing. The right scuff, as they said with Mike Scott back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nolan Ryan on the team, of course.
Oh, yeah. And, Julio Cruz, right? Wait,
Jose Cruz? He wasn't a pitcher.
Jose Cruz. Yeah. Yeah. So many good players. Billy Hatcher. Yeah. Man, Dickie Thon was on that team, I think.
Glenn Davis, Phil Garner. Yep. Phil Garner's had some
Boy, I remember that team. All right, so yeah, as I mentioned, you started off, I guess, in the world of games, professionally writing. What outlets did you write for?
The very first thing I did was I wrote for an outlet that literally shut down like a month ago called AllGame.com.
Okay.
Just to go over that real quick, they wanted a whole team of people who could review every video game ever made, which is a huge task. It was pretty easy to get hired there. They didn't pay a whole lot, but they did pay. And I wrote about a ton of NES games and a ton of Genesis games, and I think about 400 games altogether over the course of about a year and a half. But after about that time, both EGM and the official US PlayStation magazine were advertising in their magazines that they were looking for an editor. So my experience apparently was good enough to get me an interview, and I went to Oak Brook, Illinois, where they were headquartered at the time, interviewed there. And about a week after that, I got a call saying I got a job at the official PlayStation magazine. To be honest, I was a little bummed because I was an EGM reader. I wasn't really an OPM reader at the time, but shocking revelation. But no, I was 23 and super stoked to have a job where my stuff would actually be read by hundreds of thousands of people every month. So, and I'm eternally grateful for everyone involved in hiring me there, like Joe Funk and Craig Dejawa, and John Davison was my boss there. I had a lot of great people I was working with. Of course, down the hall, we had Greg Stewart and Chris Johnston of the Player One podcast, Phil Theobald as well. So that's how I know those guys. So I worked there till they laid me off in 2004. There was a big layoff at Ziff Davis. Yes, yes. But I rebounded from that pretty well. I got a job at LucasArts doing PR. And then while I was there, I thought I'd give the whole PR thing a shot. But a year or so into it, I realized, I really want to get more into the production end of things. And I tried really hard to get on, teams that were making like The Force Unleashed at the time and some other games that didn't materialize, like an Indiana Jones game, for example. But toward the end of that, a person I'd worked with there was heading up the games at Marvel. And I actually at the time really wanted to work on Star Wars games, so I kind of just put it off for a bit. But eventually I decided, I'll give this Marvel thing a shot. So I moved down to L.A., and I was working at Marvel for about 7 years until just a few months ago.
Yeah, you had your hands in quite a number. Like when you say Marvel, like a lot of the games went through you, right? I mean, your job, I believe, was to basically make sure the characters were being used properly. I mean, that's probably an oversimplification, but
that was definitely the primary thing that my job was. That's kind of what my book is about that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Congratulations on getting that whole long title out, by the way. It's quite a mouthful. I often can't say it myself. I did do what's called brand assurance at Marvel for video games for almost 7 years. And of course, I used a lot of my kind of past as a game reviewer and that sort of thing to instead of telling people why a game sucks, to point out the things that sucked to developers so that they could fix them before a reviewer could say why a game sucks. Didn't always work out greatly, but I do have some pretty great games to my credit. I worked on Marvel vs. Capcom 3. On Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
Oh, man.
Pretty much any Spider-Man game from Activision since 2008. Web of Shadows was the first one I worked on. And then there were other games that weren't so great, but that's so.
Well, hey, look, right? Even, it's a baseball episode. Even the best baseball players, only get a hit 35% of the time, right?
I have a pretty good batting average.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
And so, we mentioned the book. called Wrong Retro Games. You messed up our comic book heroes. What was the inspiration for that, and how did that come together? And how long does writing a book like that take?
It takes a lot longer than you think it does. I did it as a Kindle ebook, and I wanted to have a lot of screenshots and stuff. And you know what? Kindle's not really made for that. So I had to figure out how to trick the system into making sure that all of my stuff looked decent across, you know, countless devices. It's the Kindle itself and all of its iterations. It's iPhones and iPads and anything with a Kindle app on it. So a lot of time was spent just doing that. I really just did it. I kind of on a whim, you know, it really is kind of what I did at Marvel. And, I've been looking for interesting things to do the past few months. And a friend of mine was like, "Hey, ever think about putting a book on Kindle?" And I didn't even know about it. So I was like, "All right, I'll just do this." So I think it took a good 6 weeks to get everything together. There's almost 80 games in the book.
Wow.
I didn't play every single one, but I did like watch Let's Plays and stuff like that. I read every manual I could find, a lot of like reviews and stuff that are online that, there's a lot of great websites that kind of document that stuff. I learned a lot about superhero games I didn't know existed. So it was just kind of a fun experience, and now it's out there for the world to see, and it's doing okay. You know, it when I had a free promotion, and it was number one in the free category for its own categories, including all of comics and graphic novels, entire category. So that was pretty cool.
Number one. Can't get better than that. Right?
Well, when you're free, they have like free and then they have paid. And I'm in the top 50, I think, for paid right now. Just
nice. Yeah. So I guess question before we get into the baseball stuff. Why, and maybe this isn't even a fair question, but why aren't there more great superhero games? It would seem like that would be the ultimate playground, and there are good ones, there are plenty of good ones, but it feels to me like there are less good ones than there should be. I mean, and is that sort of, basically speaking, is that accurate, or you know, are there some gems out there or some underappreciated games?
There's definitely some gems out there. I do believe that we are just in terms of licensed games in general, we're kind of at a turning point where there's a lot of mobile stuff now. Like all the movie games and stuff is pretty much all mobile for the most part. And a lot of licensed games are actually really good now. Like this year we had Shadow of Mordor, we had South Park was great. The Alien game I hear is really good. Mm-hmm. So there weren't a ton of like total dud like licensed games. I worked on one. I don't want to name it right now, but
is it the Amazing Spider-Man 2? Because I love that
possibly.
Game.
I you love that game? Game.
I do. I mean, I'm not saying it is a great game, but we all have mm-hmm. certain games that may not be, you know, critically acclaimed, but for whatever reason sure. they work for us. And I'm not a big comic book guy. In fact, I'm not really a comic book guy much at all. I mean, I have an appreciation for them when I was younger. I read them, and you know, we all go in different ways with the things that we like. But I really thoroughly enjoyed The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I know it got poor reviews and it had a whole bunch of issues, but I just thought it was fun. And it probably is kind of because I don't play a lot of these games, but let's face it, right? I'm Spider-Man. I'm going through Manhattan. You're basically battling every major enemy. You have a lot of powers. I don't know. I found it a lot of fun. I finished the game, as a matter of fact.
Cool. Yeah. Did you unlock many of the alternate costumes?
I did a bunch, and I actually wound up like probably everybody. Once you find your favorite one, that becomes the default one. Sure. I forget the name of it, but it was one of the really sort of modern, really sleek looking ones that I wound up spending most of my time in.
Yeah, I think the most kind of tangible thing you can see in that game that was me was the descriptions of all the suits for the alternate costumes. You know, I had a lot of feedback on, you know, just the game itself and that kind of stuff. But sometimes there's a lot of stuff I can't talk about just because of NDAs and whatnot. But
sure.
Licensed games can be really tricky.
Yeah.
In terms of just all sorts of things. I don't want to get myself in trouble. So
you don't want to get anyone in trouble. And we are here to talk about baseball games of the past. You are an expert on the subject. Why, I guess we'll start off with, when did you first start playing baseball games? And like, what was your foray into that kind of game in particular?
Yeah, the very first baseball game I played was on the very first console I had, which was the Intellivision. It was Major League Baseball.
Okay, so you and I already have yet another problem, and that is I was an Atari 2600 kid.
Okay.
I was insanely jealous of people who had the Intellivision because it was so much cooler than the 2600. To this day, I've never actually played on Intellivision.
Oh, really?
I mean, I played some of the, you know, compilation games and things like that.
Right.
So, wow, the Intellivision, Major League Baseball. I remember, distinctly remember seeing the commercials for that. You know, George Plimpton comparing my poor little Atari 2600 baseball where the little guys, all three of them ran left and right. And
right.
All of a sudden he shows Major League Baseball. So what was that game like?
I loved it. The one thing that kind of sucked was that it was two-player only.
Really?
So, yeah, you couldn't play it by yourself. I think I tried as a kid to play by myself, both to, like, you know, I don't know if you ever played just, like, baseball by yourself or something as kid, too. I would, like, throw, like, foam balls into the fan and like, try to catch it and be, like, two sides of a team, you know?
Yeah. I have an older sister. She's 5 years older than me, and that's it. So, yeah, there was a lot of baseball playing and, like, myself in the yard running around playing football
right.
with the trees or tackling me and stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I did that all the time. But, yeah, the Intellivision game was two players, and it had 9-on-9, you know, full outfield and infield and all that. And I believe it has been 30 years since I've played it, but I believe that the number pad on the Intellivision was used to pick your guy that you were going to pick to go get the ball or whatever. And I remember I learned the concept of bunting through that game because there was a bunt button.
Nice.
One time I bunted a home run over the fence. So the game was not without its bugs. I mastered stealing. I would play with my best friend at the time, who I still am in touch with. I'll send him this podcast too. I think he'd dig it.
Awesome.
And yeah, Michael Carberry. And yeah, we would, I remember, like, we would try to steal bases off each other because you could do that. And just, we were just like learning video games back then, you know, it was still a new thing, kind of.
It's incomparable to today, right? I mean, there's just everything you had a manual and you had the game and that was it. Everything was discovery. I mean, I remember when I first started playing video games, I didn't even – the concept of a game being good or not good. It's just like, hey, this is a video game. This must be
exactly
good,
right there. Exactly, yeah, yeah. That's the way – that was my kind of – the way I saw things really till PlayStation.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's a video game. I like this. You know, there's varying degrees of me liking it.
Sure.
I think there was only one game in the entire NES era that I just flat out didn't like. That was the Uncanny X-Men. It's one of the worst games I've ever played. If you want to play a terrible game and see a game that wants to be Gauntlet but fails in every way, play the Uncanny X-Men.
Good to know.
It's in my book.
Good to know. So, all right, so Major League Baseball, was that a licensed game? Like, did that have, like, teams?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Well, it was called Major League Baseball. That's about as far as the licensing went, but okay. I am pretty sure that that is the very first licensed sports game.
Okay.
Yeah, I've also heard things like you could hear the umpire go like, "Frr!" Like it wasn't quite the word strike, but it was kind of the word strike. And so I've heard it's like the first game with speech in it. I don't know how true that is.
Cool. So the way that we're going to talk about baseball games, and there weren't a whole lot of hard and fast rules, but I mean, basically where we wound up is these are baseball games from the beginning of video game console era through PS2 and the Xbox, with a heavy leaning towards previous to that. So that's sort of how this is, how we're going to structure the conversation. We're going to break it up into really three areas. First, we're going to talk about games, baseball games that qualify as interesting, maybe not good, maybe not classics, but interesting. And then we're going to have some honorable mentions, which are games that could have made the best of list, but didn't quite for whatever reasons. And then we're going to have Chris Baker's five best baseball games of all time. So that's how we're going to do this thing. And I'm very, very excited for this. Before we started recording the show, I mentioned to Chris, I love old baseball games, but because back in the day when I had the NES and the Genesis, I was so broke, I didn't play a whole lot of these games. So I'm gonna get probably as much out of this as any of the listeners. So Mr. Chris Baker, aficionado of old school baseball games, let's start with, what are maybe not the best, maybe not honorable mentions, but looking back through the prism of time, what are some of the more interesting old school baseball games that you recall?
Okay, let's start out with a little quiz for you here, Rich.
Okay, oh boy.
Can you name any baseball games that were a complete sentence?
Oh boy,
there are two that I know of.
Oh man. No, I cannot. I mean,
all right.
Without looking it up, no. So, not gonna.
One is a game I played that was pretty decent. It had a really good kind of editing system, and that was Al Michaels Announces Hardball 3.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And then on the NES, and I think this might have been on 16-bit as well, there was Ryne Sandberg Plays Bases Loaded 3.
Wow. No, I did not play either of those games. That I know for sure. I know I've played the Hardball in one of its iterations, but I do not believe it was the Al Michaels Announces Hardball 3.
Right. The thing I remember about that, I played it on Genesis. I think it was probably at its best on PC, but I played it on Genesis, and you could take any team you wanted and edit them to be as powerful and amazing as you want them to be. So this was 1991, I believe I played it, and I was a big Astros fan. They were terrible. They're like as bad. They might have been worse. That was like the first year when we had Greg Biggio. Well, Biggio was on the team for a couple of years at that point, but Jeff Bagwell, Luis Gonzalez would be a big guy a few years later. That was his rookie year. Steve Finley, I think, was a rookie year. Not, he was like 2-3 years in, maybe. Really super young team that wasn't very good, but I made them really good in Hardball 3.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah.
What kind of modes were in that game, or what did you play more than anything else?
I just remember the editing in it, and you could, I think I gave everybody like a 1,000 batting average because you could do that. And they played like it. They always got base hits when they had 1,000 batting averages, and you could edit what the team was at, like what Al Michaels kind of blurb was about it. He didn't actually say it, but you could see a little face of Al Michaels in a little word bubble. And I believe I remember this. I put quite simply the greatest team there ever was. When I picked my 1991 Houston Astros.
Poor
Eric Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of other guys. Pete Harnish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember him for sure.
He was great. He was really good. But
yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, so that is really all I have to say about Hardball 3. I don't really remember it that well, but it was pretty good. There are two American-released softball games that I know of.
Wow, I had no idea.
One was on PlayStation. It was from 3DO, so you know it's going to be quality. Sammy Sosa's Softball Slam. That was the very first year I was at OPM. I remember they came and showed it to us. It was really ugly.
Okay.
Like, this was like late PlayStation 1, but it was not a pretty game. And I think Todd Zuniga, who I think a lot of your listeners probably are familiar with him, the Sports Anomaly podcast.
Yep.
He was one of my fellow OPM editors, and I think he reviewed it and probably gave it between 1 and 2 out of 5. I don't remember exactly, but there was that game. That existed as a thing.
I have a feeling we're not going to get the remaster of that anytime soon.
No. It had Sammy Sosa because they had his license at the time, and it was just a bunch of made-up people. But on the NES, there's a game called Dusty Diamonds All-Star Softball. Near as I can tell, there is no actual person named Dusty Diamond, save Dustin Diamond of Saved by the Bell and recent scandal fame.
Yes, yes.
I don't think this was his All-Star Softball because it came out in the probably Good Morning Miss Bliss era of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my.
And yeah, I didn't play this until the NES was pretty much obsolete, but it was awful. like solid brown. Like the field was solid brown, like for its dirt. And just the characters and everything looked terrible. It tried to be the RBI baseball of softball and just failed miserably.
I wonder what goes into the, you know, the thought process behind making a softball game versus a baseball game.
I think it's probably just a matter of wanting to do something different that stands out.
Mm. Okay.
That's why there's only been two.
Yeah, good point.
I did see, I researched this a bit, and there was some game in Japan called I Love Softball. That's all I know. It had, it was women. It was all women. I believe the two games I mentioned were women and men playing together. But, yeah, so those existed as things. what about Legends of the Diamond? You ever heard of that one?
No.
Mm-mm. That was an NES game that I was actually really looking forward to. And it had 30 all-time greats like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Roberto Clemente, Cy Young. That was its kind of... its pitch, if you will, in baseball. It just was really bad. It wanted to be RBI baseball, but the character sprites were just horrendous. It was like really, really small legs, and everybody was like fat. Everybody was Babe Ruth size.
You know, it's funny, too, because I've talked about this a lot. Baseball games, of all the sports games, you would think baseball would have the most – history to draw upon. I mean, all sports have great history, but baseball in particular, I mean, just you say the names of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle and Jimmy Fox and you know, Ty Cobb, like just some of the names of all-time baseball players strike a chord in Americana more than anything else. It's kind of amazing that there aren't more games that use that history to their benefit, and clearly Legends of the Diamond was not one of those.
No, it did have an interesting feature. It had a wind feature.
Okay.
Where you always saw the word wind with a very basic looking arrow facing a certain direction. I don't remember how like fickle it was, but it would like change from batter to batter or whatever, but that was kind of its gameplay feature, I guess, if there was anything that separated it apart other than its people that it had in it. Yeah, it had wind. So that there's that. I feel like I can end all of these by saying there's that. Let's see. What's another interesting one that wasn't particularly necessarily great? Have you ever heard of Baseball Stars Professional? Not Baseball Stars or Baseball Stars 2, but Baseball Stars Professional.
No.
Was for Neo Geo.
Mm.
I experienced it once in an arcade, because you know they have those arcade units for Neo Geos.
Mm.
And it struck me as really odd that there was a team called the Fabulous Superstars, and it had Batman.
What?
It had Batman. literally you could go to the like the lineup screen, and there was a picture of Batman there. Not only Batman, it had Rocky, had Rambo.
Oh my gosh.
Between them, they both looked like Sylvester Stallone. Rambo had a headband. Otherwise, it was the exact same picture.
Wow.
It had Spock. It had it had Darth Vader.
Oh, my God. I'm sure
it had
fully
Freddy and Jason.
Oh, my goodness.
It had Bond. It had Indy. It had Mad Max. And there's a few more. I don't remember all these. I looked it up because I was kind of fascinated by it. And I'm kind of kicking myself because I would love to have actually put this in my book. Mm. I'm thinking I might do a sequel eventually that's like you messed up our movie characters and it would fit in there. Because, these were completely unlicensed. This game is actually, I found out, available on PSN, on PS3, without those characters.
Oh, okay.
Yes, unfortunately. Other than that, it was like teams that they all had like a theme. I think like one of them was all people named after flowers and trees and that kind of thing. And there was like one that was all like Greek gods, and there's one that was all like Knights of the Round Table and stuff like that. But that was an interesting game for that reason.
Now, speaking of arcades, I distinctly remember in the mid 80s, there was a really great baseball game, and you may or may not have it on your list, but it was an arcade. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was fascinated because it had on the side of it, like the St. Louis Cardinals versus the Kansas City Royals. So it was, had to be obviously right around 85, 86. And you could pitch and you can hit, but you had these like little levers that you would pull back and then release to pitch and then a lever that you would pull back. Like it wasn't button pressing for it. Do you remember that game?
That rings a bell.
It was.
But I couldn't tell you what it is. Was that bottom of the ninth?
I don't know.
Bottom of the ninth was a big game in arcades, and I remember seeing it. I don't remember if I remember the kind of control mechanism you're talking about. And I remember bottom of the ninth. I don't know if they're the same thing or not.
Yeah, I remember being attracted to the machine just because I saw, the Cardinals and the Royals and the World Series, and then I walked up to this thing and I played it as much as I could, and it was not the kind of game you would see at every arcade. I don't even remember where it was. It had to be, the mid 80s in some mall arcade that I used to go to. But as soon as you said arcade, that just rang the bell. I got to look that up. But that was terrific it looked really cool too, but I just remember being able to use the pitching and the hitting with the levers, which is something I'd never seen before. It was spectacular.
Yeah. Well, on the subject of arcade, do you remember a game called Relief Pitcher?
No, I don't.
Early 90s.
Okay.
This was a game that had sort of an interesting kind of unique thing to it where its focus was being the late innings of a game. So you were probably a relief pitcher if you were pitching, or you're in some kind of clutch situation if you were hitting. And it had a really unique controller or a button setup, I should say, that it really looked like a Simon, like a Simon machine.
Sure, yeah.
And it really, for all intents and purposes, functioned as three different buttons, but a hit button and a base run button or whatever. But that one always kind of stood out to me just because it had this kind of interesting setup. And I believe it was the first arcade game I ever saw that ever tried to have real stadiums. They were unlicensed and not real, but they had four cities, Boston, Chicago, Houston, and Los Angeles. And each of those stadiums was, Fenway or Wrigley or the Astrodome or Dodger Stadium in look, just not officially. So that was a cool one. And I think Jack Buck, I was looking into this, apparently Jack Buck, who, the Cardinals announcer, was the guy who did the voice for it. And it came on Super Nintendo. I never played that version, but. That was a kind of fun one I remember from back in the day.
Cool.
Yeah. But, we could go into honorable mentions, I guess.
All right. So, yes, honorable mentions. So these are the games that don't quite make the top five, which is where we're going to wind up here tonight. And, by the way, I also have, after we get through, I got some great tweets and feedback from listeners of the show too, which I'm curious to see what some of them. I'm sure several of these will match up, but it'll also be interesting to see what some other folks have said too. So, all right, Chris Baker, let's move to your honorable mention of some of the best baseball games of all time.
Yeah, I've got a few of these as well. I'm not sure if I'd call it one of the best baseball games of all time, but it was certainly one that I invested a lot of time in. It was just baseball for NES. It didn't let you control your fielders, which was weird, other than throwing the ball.
Right.
But it was one of the first games I remember like seeing shadows in, which was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of my very first NES games, so it has just kind of that special place in my heart just for nostalgia purposes. Some of these you might name in your top five, so I'm not sure, but Bases Loaded was one I definitely enjoyed. I guess I'll just name them. All-Star Baseball 2001,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily because it was great, it was kind of okay, I think, but that was when I first started OPM, the official PlayStation magazine. We had like a kind of Ziff Davis tournament, and it was me and Todd Zuniga and Dan Leahy from EGM at the time, a few other guys as well. And we had like our own little league, and that was really the first time I ever experienced anything like that, and it was really cool. We would just, on our lunch breaks, play our games and that kind of thing. I threw a complete game, I believe it was a perfect game, against one of our other guys just by doing an exploit that I felt kind of bad about. But it was a perfect game. Shane Reynolds of the Astros.
Nice.
That one was really fun just for the kind of way it brought everybody together. The Slugfest games, I didn't play a whole lot of those, but what I did, I really enjoyed those. And then there's just a few that I had and enjoyed, like RBI Baseball 93 on the Genesis.
Oh. Yeah. See, RBI 93, I didn't have it on the Genesis. I had it, I'm almost positive, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure RBI 93 for me was an NES game. Sure feels like it was. And my friends and I would play RBI 93. I think that was the game where the San Francisco Giants outfield, Kevin Mitchell, was by far the league's leading home run hitter.
Sounds about right.
And we would just, man, we would play the whole game just to get him up, and he would crush like 450-foot home runs in that game in RBI 93.
That, I believe, was the first game that like tried to have all the stadiums in it. Mm-hmm. Again, unlicensed stadiums, but they were, I believe that was official MLBPA and MLB, I think. But I remember like on the back of the box, the new stadium at the time was Kansas City, and they've got that waterfall.
Yes.
And like that was like, there was the waterfall stadium.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That made everybody. But, that game I do distinctly remember eventually just, like, knowing it so well that I would win games, like, 150-10. Not necessarily the most realistic baseball game.
I used to get mad because for a long time I didn't have the system, but my friend had the system. And, of course, whenever I went to his house, I just wanted to play that. Like, you know, and it was like if you ever had a friend who had a game console and you didn't, your friend never wanted to play. You're like, let's do something else. Like, no, come on, let's play. I want to play, And when we would play, my friend John Pinto, I still remember you, would just run the bases, steal bases constantly because I wasn't quite sure how to, like, it would take me a few innings to get my bearings and stuff. And he would he wouldn't ease up on me at all. I'm still angry about that. Still to this day angry about that. So what else do you have on your honorable mention list?
Wii Sports Baseball.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Yeah, that was like a really fun. That was probably my second favorite of the Wii Sports package, which I still think everybody got a Wii for Wii Sports, pretty much across the board.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, bowling was really good. It's probably number three, to be honest. Fine bowling. But it was still fun just to, you know, time the pitch and try to hit a home run. I remember a friend of mine, I believe you know, Ethan Einhorn at Sega. I would go to his house and but we would just have like Wii Sports nights and it was fun.
Yep, absolutely. Any other honorable mentions?
Yeah, the last honorable mention I will say is probably it's embarrassing that I haven't really played a baseball game, you know, big time in a while. And probably the last one I put any sort of real time into was MLB Power Pros, which was for Wii. Are you familiar with this game?
I am. Yes. I reviewed that game, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And that was an RPG. It was like a baseball RPG where sometimes you would play whole games and then in the middle you'd have a date.
Yes.
And then, but it was all very Japanese, which kind of, I'd like to see like a more Western version of the same concept, you know? I was fine with that aspect and all, but I think it would be even more interesting if we kind of took it to what would a Western developer do. But yeah, you would play like parts of games or, you know, it could be a whole game and then you'd find yourself in the playoffs and there'd be some kind of drama going on. And, I just really enjoyed playing through that game. I thought it was fun. What was your review? Just out of curiosity. Man.
Yeah, I would have to look it up. Like, it's been so long since I thought about that, but I distinctly remember being unprepared for it. Like, you know, I was the sports guy, and they're just like, "Oh, sports game, give it to Rich." And I was like, "Wait a second, what's going on here?" Like, my manager is yelling at me. I'm, you know, certain situations I have to do certain things. You know, I didn't always play. I had to earn. I had to, you know, train in different. I mean, like, it wasn't a baseball game. Like you say, it was an RPG. There was all of this stuff. And me not being a particularly familiar with the, you know, I don't play a whole lot of RPGs. And I, you know, it was a very different game than I was expecting. But I do remember enjoying it very much. Just, I think, mostly because it was so unexpected. And once I sort of figured out what was going on, I remember really, really liking it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Well, all right. That brings us to what will, I'm sure, generate the most conversation, which is the five best baseball games of all time, according to Chris Baker. So let's start.
My favorite. I think there's a big difference between best and favorite.
There you go.
So am I first here?
Yes, go for it. You are
five. Number five. Number five, we've actually talked about already, and that is Major League Baseball 4 on television, just because of my huge sentimental attachment to it. You know, it wasn't just a baseball game. It was a big step of me getting interested in the video games, period. So it holds a very, very special place in my heart that it definitely needs to make the top five list that we have here, even if I'm sure it's really not playable today in any way whatsoever, especially if you want to play by yourself because it's a two-player game.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, like I said, there are a lot more baseball games that I did not play than I did. So my list is going to be, you know, very, very specific to the games that I played, as opposed to any sort of, you know, official or, you know, I don't know how else to say it, but number five on my list, people are going to think this is nuts, but Activision Baseball on the Atari 2600.
Huh. Oh, sure. Okay.
Because it was so much better than the Atari baseball game. Like, Activision Baseball was the first baseball video game that I ever played where you individually controlled a player. Like when you know, if you remember the old Atari 2600, you know, you controlled like three or four guys. You would hit the ball. You wouldn't know if it was in the air or not. Like sometimes you would hit the ball and it would go straight and it would be a home run. And other times you'd hit the ball and it would just stop, right? You didn't know. Activision Baseball, you could see if it was in the air or not.
Oh, wow.
You individually controlled players. Like, it was just so wildly better than the Atari 2600, you know, original baseball game. I just remember being so happy to be able to play a game right. like that.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned earlier that you were jealous of all the Intellivision owners. I had the exact opposite feeling because everybody had Atari, and you know, I couldn't really talk about my games with other kids because they didn't have the same games that I had.
Right.
Although, you know, there were some really great games. You know, we're going off on a tangent here. Dungeons and Dragons and Burger Time were especially great on Intellivision. And, you know, Major League Baseball. Actually, all sports games. Football was NFL football. It was pretty good. Basketball was pretty good, too.
Hockey, too, right? Wasn't there a good NHL hockey
game? I didn't play that one. But, yeah, my neighbor had – my neighbor – Michael, who I mentioned earlier, is the only other person I knew who had an Intellivision. He got the Intellivoice module, which was a big deal. Because it would be like, B-17 Bomber. that's all I really remember of the Intellivoice. But,
wow. Nice.
Yeah, he had NFL football. I had Major League Baseball and NBA basketball. So we were pretty much set on that end. But yeah, sorry, I got on a little tangent there. But yeah, I would like to have had an Atari so I could have like traded games and stuff with kids, you know, elementary school and that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I'm going to stick with I'm going to do this fantasy football snake draft style. So number four on my list, we already talked about, which was RBI 93.
Okay.
Again, RBI baseball, RBI 93, you know, it's all about what I played. And at the time, RBI 93 was the game that I was able to eventually get. And we just played and played and played and played that game so much. Not only like when with my friends, but I even brought my NES to college. And, you know, we played Super Tecmo Bowl and we played RBI 93. And that game may or may not have been better than other games of the era. You know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of comments about it, and I'm sure you're going to name a bunch of them too. But, you know, for me personally, RBI 93, I just have such great memories of such marathon sessions with my friends that'll always be a standout.
Right. Yeah, actually, going back to my old friend Michael again, I remember I took that and NBA Jam and my Genesis. I lived in Memphis at the time, and I visited him in Houston, and we played that for like a whole week. It was like those two games, and I think we rented like, what was it, Bulls versus Blazers or one of those old NBA games? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man. Good stuff. Those are the best. Absolutely. All right, so what's your number four?
My number four is World Series Baseball for Genesis.
That was amazing.
I actually believe that this is the most important baseball game in terms of how it has evolved today because it was, I'm almost positive, the very first game where you chose your pitch with a button. And that the view, basically the kind of catcher's cam view that still exists today, that I'm pretty sure originated there. And it just for its sheer influence, I think it deserves a high spot on the list. And I played the hell out of it too. I played that game a lot. I do remember it was really easy to hit home runs. So again, you would have like really high scoring games and stuff. It wasn't necessarily the best simulation, but it was incredibly important to the genre for two decades to come. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we'll stay with you for number three.
My number three, and I went back and forth on this because one I think is probably better, but there's one that I actually played more and got more out of, and so I'm going with that one. That's MVP Baseball 2004 from EA for PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
So you're going 1 year before the most sentimentally good one, right?
Yeah, 2005 is probably the better game, but I didn't play it a whole lot. Honestly, because I was out of editorial at that point.
Sure.
I do remember one of my all-time favorite reviews I ever wrote for OPM was a head-to-head-to-head-to-head baseball roundup between MVP, what was it, World Series 2, or what it was, a World Series they still called it, I think, Sega, All-Star Baseball from Acclaim. Mm-hmm. And there was a fourth game that's slipping my mind right now, but I did like a head-to-head-to-head-to-head review where I went over pitching and which game was best at that, hitting, base running, and some other factor, fielding. And yeah, MVP came out on top, and it was, I think MVP had the best pitching I've ever experienced. I will qualify this by saying I really haven't played baseball games the past few years. Just my interest has dwindled a bit since the Astros have sucked so much. There's definitely there's definitely a correlation there. But yeah, I think that that whole MVP era was, as far as just like the best simulation of baseball, was the best I've ever played.
It's hard to argue with that. number three on my list, you already mentioned, which is World Series Baseball. When I had my Genesis, there were not many games that I had for it. Most of them were NHL or Madden or NBA Live and or NBA Jam. But I had World Series Baseball, and similar to RBI 93, World Series Baseball was just, you know, it was more about, because I played it with my friends, and, you know, more nostalgia than was it the best baseball game of the era. I have no idea. But, yeah, World Series Baseball holds a very special place in my gaming history, for sure.
Well, I'm sure a lot of listeners would agree with that.
Yeah. Number two, I'm going a little bit off the grid, but, again, this is because it was so influential to me. And that was the original MLB The Show on the PSP. I don't know if you ever played that, but when the PSP first came out, MLB The Show came out for it, and I was taking the train back and forth every day to New York. So it was like perfect timing.
Yeah.
I missed my stop more times than I would care to admit, because I was completely into my 162 game season with the Mets. That game, being able to play that game on the PSP, blew my mind. I mean, I just couldn't believe that this experience, the great visuals, the ability to play, you know, and have your stats tracked, and the sound and everything. Man, I was blown away. And again, it's like, I'm not saying it's better than this or better than that, but for me personally, I probably spent more hours playing that baseball game than any other game except the game that is going to be my number one.
Right. And yeah, I think right about that time is when the MLB series basically found itself. And
yes,
correct me if I'm wrong, it's pretty much the only game in town, right?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's the only Major League Baseball, you know, console game. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think it wasn't even called The Show. I think it was just called like MLB, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But it I think it got named The Show a year or two later. But yeah, it wasn't even officially named The Show. But whatever it was when it launched on the PSP, that was it.
And right.
That franchise basically killed baseball on the Xbox because the MLB 2K series couldn't keep up, and you know, to this day it's spectacular.
Right. Yeah. Actually, you're talking about this game jogs my memory. That fourth game I couldn't think of was MLB 04. I guess they probably called it 05, because that made no sense. By the way, when they would name the baseball game, I understand football and basketball, but when you name the baseball game the next year, that was a good thing about MVP, because that was like the first baseball game that actually gave you the year that it came out and the season it represented.
Yes. Yes.
That was just baseball, another like little thing I liked about it.
That's right. Good point. So that is my number two. So am I still going the right order? Going back to you for your number two? Is that right?
Yes.
Is that
right? My number two, I actually wonder if your number one. And that would be RBI Baseball, the original.
It is not, because I chose not to go with a couple of RBIs
Okay.
with my list.
And yeah, this game blew my mind.
Oh yeah.
Back in the NES days, because it had real players.
Yes.
And this was, I believe, the first sports game period to have real players in it. As I mentioned earlier, I would discuss something about my 86 Astros. It had the 86 Astros. It came out in 88, I believe, but it had the 86 teams. And so, you know, that was my favorite Astros team up until, you know, the prime Biggio Bagwell era. And so that was just like the kind of extra flavoring that made it awesome. Although they are terrible in that game. And I didn't realize, I mean, you know, I thought all these players were awesome back in the day and all that, but they're like 250 to 270 most of the time in terms of batting average. And, you know, of course, Mike Scott and Nolan Ryan were awesome. And the whole pitching staff in that game is pretty great. But he's not in the game. It was in the game you had, yeah, you had Nolan Ryan, you had Mike Scott, you had Dave Smith and Charlie Kerfeld.
Charlie Kerfeld was a
one-season wonder.
Yeah, huge dude, big old.
He was amazing
boy.
That year.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he was amazing that year, and then he just sucked.
Yeah, you know, but, it's funny. Every once in a while, I watch the old DVDs of the '86 NLCS and the World Series, and seeing him, you know, he's just like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about. It. I mean, the guy was huge. He was well over 6 feet, big kid. All knees and elbows, but he could pitch at least for that short amount of time.
Yeah, there's a really great, it hasn't been updated in years, I don't think, but there's a really great website called dnees.com, dnees.com. I don't know what it means, but it is basically the RBI baseball community. I guess mainly like early to mid 2000s. I'm not sure how active it is these days, but it has like a lot of ROMs and stuff with updated rosters. And it actually like goes team by team. And I was reading up on the Astros and it was like, don't pick this team. Sometimes we'll pick it on a lark to try to to say we beat our friend with it. But there's actually another really great memory I have to this game, which really makes me regret that it's not number one, but when we get to that, I'll explain why my number one is number one. And that is that I really rediscovered this game in around, say, 2004, I think, with Greg Ford, who I know a lot of Sports Anomaly listeners, Player One podcast listeners probably know that name.
Absolutely.
Retired for now from podcasting, but he's still a very good friend of mine. I saw him recently. He was a groomsman in my wedding.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And we would, for a good year and a half, maybe in 2 years, every couple months or so, we would get the 5 for 5 deal at Arby's, and we would go to my place, and we would load up one of those ROMs I was talking about. So it would be like his Red Sox at the time versus my Astros, who were really good at the time. And so it was actually, he usually won just because his team was better and he is actually a better gamer than me. But, you know, and we would go back and play the old school one too. But yeah, we played that a lot and, it's probably this century the best kind of multiplayer gaming experience I've had, just because we're such good friends and, you know, you don't really get your friends over to play video games anymore in my age.
So that
game was pretty great. Just another kind of, I'm going to throw this in as a side note about me and Greg Ford and our baseball camaraderie. You know, we met in 2002 when he was a copy editor at EGM and I was editor at OPM. And, you know, we realized that we were both big baseball fans and he's diehard Red Sox and I was diehard Astros. And we were like, you know, if they ever, play, you know, interleague together, we should totally, fly out and see every game. And in 2008, we did that. We went down to Houston, met up one of my relatives there, watched all three games. Astros won 2 out of 3 of them. And one of them was like a really great, like 12-10 game. It was pretty awesome. So that's just a fond memory. And I I don't know if RBI has any anything to do with it. But I did bring it. I remember I brought it on the trip. I don't think we played it.
Nice.
I brought it just in case.
Sure. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm going to do my number one before you do your number one because I want you to close it out. But I'm going to mention a couple games that didn't make the list and why. My two favorite modern era baseball games are easily the Bigs and the Bigs Two. You know, I kind of put them together. They're not, you know, sim baseball games, but they were both amazing, amazing games that I wish in one way, shape, or form would come back, because I had more fun probably playing the Bigs and the Bigs Two than I did most other baseball games ever that weren't multiplayer. Like, most of the games that I have on my list, I have on my list because I played them against other people, you know, like RBI and World Series Baseball. But the Bigs was great when you were playing somebody, but it's also just they had a terrific single-player mode, really great progression, the Bigs 2 in particular. I also didn't put MVP 05 on the list. Again, I kind of just feel like those are a little too modern for this particular type of list. And also because, you know, for the most part, the games that I mentioned were really formative to me. When I was younger, I mean, I love baseball today, but when I was younger, I loved baseball. It really consumed me for a long time. And so that's another reason why these older baseball games have such a place in my heart. And it also kind of, you know, it really bums me out when I'm going to, you know, name a bunch of the games that a bunch of the listeners list. Like, I never played most of these games. Or if I did, I just was able to experience them for a few minutes here, or a few minutes there at a friend's house or something like that. I didn't have the deep experiences, because I know a lot of people are hearing the list going, what about this game and what about that game? So number one on my list, again, sort of off the grid, but to me, again, whenever I think of a baseball video game, it's always number one, and that is Micro League Baseball. It was not on a console. It was a computer game. I played it on my old Apple IIe. It was a pure statistical game. It wasn't stick skills. But that game taught me more about baseball history than anything, because the original Micro League Baseball had like the 1927 Yankees and the 1945 Cubs and the 63 Dodgers and the 68 Cardinals and 68 Tigers. Like, guys, I like know names. Obviously, the 27 Yankees, you know, you already kind of knew Gehrig and Mantle, but like Tony Lazzari and you know, just some of the great names of those great Yankees that weren't Gehrig and Ruth and things like that. But also, like, I remember just looking at the roster of the 68 Tigers, Denny McClain winning 31 games, you know, or the 68 Cardinals with Bob Gibson with that 1.12 ERA. And it also had, you know, like the 75 Reds and Red Sox and, you know, the 84 Cubs and the 84 Padres and the 84 Tigers and just a wonderful collection of historic baseball teams that you could pit against each other and play. And then there was an expansion disc that you could get that you could create and track your own seasons and stats, which was amazing. And I played Micro League Baseball so much. And that was, you know, in the mid 80s when I was at my height of loving baseball. So, you know, circumstances and the fact that I had this little computer and I could play this game and learning about it and Micro League Baseball will and forever will be my favorite baseball video game experience, although, again, I don't know that it qualifies as really the kind of game that a lot of us are talking about or the listeners. But, again, Micro League Baseball, for me, far and away the best baseball game that of my, you know, baseball game-playing experience.
I remember that existing. I didn't have a PC until, like, 1992, so I think it was probably not around anymore, I'm sure there was stuff like it. Definitely that kind of hardcore statistical stuff probably did not draw me in as much as like being able to control baseball players. But yeah, I certainly appreciate that. I seem to remember, you're saying this jogged in memory, that it was kind of a weird dichotomy. I think it was Slugfest, MLB. I want to say there was like a Slugfest that had that in it, like as a bonus, which was really weird. I hope I'm not just completely wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it was Slugfest. It was like some game you wouldn't expect.
Okay.
And, you know, because Slugfest is like super arcadey and, right. and you know, like the digs or whatever. And
right.
it just felt really out of place. But there was that element of it. If you just wanted to play like really hardcore sim, you could, or, you know, just statistical simulation, you could do that.
Interesting. I do not.
I hope I'm just not completely wrong there, but that is what I definitely remember.
All right. So before your number one, I'm going to rattle off a list, a bunch of the listeners who gave us some of their thoughts. So, for example, our friend Ian Cummings, he says, "I can talk up Baseball Stars on the NES for days, greatest of all time." David Benry, senior NASCAR, says, "I know it's old school, but who could forget Micro League Baseball?" There you go, right there.
There you go.
Well done, sir. Rich Leith says, "Baseball Simulator 1000. Ryan Spencer says, "Super Baseball 2020 on the Genesis. Quirky, but a lot of fun." Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That was one. I felt like we were talking about other games a bit too much. But, yeah, that had explosions. Like, you could... There were bombs on the baseball field. It was kind of Mutant League football-ish a little bit for baseball. Something about it just – I enjoyed it, but it just didn't have like kind of the magic to it that like Mutant League football did.
Mm. Sean Camden says, "I don't know if it's old enough, but I loved All-Star Baseball for the PS2. Awesome. Create a team in stadium mode and a Rule 5 draft." How about that? Jeremy Cochran says, "Baseball Stars." Chuck DeBlue says Robin Ventura Baseball. Never even heard of that one.
You know, I looked that up because I didn't remember that existing, and I couldn't find it. So I don't know. Maybe it had like a weird name that was like you know, one of those complete sentences I mentioned earlier that just made it hard to find. But Baseball Stars is actually one I think we should at least mention beyond the weird teams on the Neo Geo version, because a lot of people do cite that as their favorite NES baseball game.
Yeah,
that was one that just kind of passed me by, and maybe I would have the same affinity for it if I had, you know, rented it or whatever one weekend, but I just never did. So,
David Benry also, says Baseball Stars, bases loaded, RBI and MVP. By the way, did you ever play Triple Play Baseball, the EA predecessor to MVP?
A little bit, not enough to speak super intelligently about it. Yeah. I remember Todd not being a big fan of it.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember everything about it was off, and that's eventually why they killed off the franchise and rebooted it under MVP, because it just didn't play right. It just wasn't a good baseball game. Brad Firminger says, any idea if licensing agreements would restrict EA's ability to make MVP Baseball 2005 available on Origin? I have no idea. I think they – no, I don't know. I'd be completely guessing.
Well – having a significant amount of licensing experience in the past, I would say almost certainly that obstructs it from at least the game that you know. They could go the route that, you know, I remember like they released Tecmo Bowl on Virtual Console and it just didn't have the actual players. It had numbers or they renamed them or something.
Right.
They would have to do that. They could take their engine and just the guts of the game and rename all the players. And I believe MLB is exclusive with Sony right now, so they would just have to call the teams by their cities like the old days. You know, they could release that game if they wanted to, but it would have to not have players. You could, you know, have like they did with the college games where you could edit player names and that kind of thing. But they could not just release the game that you know as MVP 2005.
I do know that there is a very active mod community around MVP Baseball on the PC where they keep updated rosters and updated players and stats and things like that. So if you want to play MVP, you got to do a little bit of work, but you can do that with modern players. But I don't see them, like to your point, with the licensing being that coming to Origin. But, you know, who knows? Maybe, like you say, they could release the guts of the game and things like that. The kid says Backyard Baseball for PC. Yeah, we haven't mentioned Backyard Baseball. A lot of people love that series.
Yeah, that was, you know, that I was a little old for it. But I did review a Backyard Baseball game, and I have a very kind of funny memory from this that it's a little kind of politically incorrect.
Uh-oh.
There was a character, a young girl, young Asian girl on a team. This was probably Backyard Baseball 2003 for the, which came out in 2002. I'm guessing that's what it was called, for PS2. And for every character in the game, there would be like a little description about just what kind of characterizes them or whatever, you know, like likes apple pie or something like that. For this young Asian girl, the descriptor was, has trouble with L's and R's.
Oh, my.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Wow.
I actually took a screenshot of that. I should dig up my old issue of OPM, and it's in there. Yeah, that's my one screenshot representing that game in that review. As I recall, I gave it maybe like, it was probably like a 3 or 3.5 out of 5. It wasn't great. It wasn't awful.
Right.
You know, related to that, our friend Greg Stewart of the Player One podcast worked on a spiritual successor to that game a few years ago that I bought and had some fun with. I forget what it's called.
Wasn't it Backyard Baseball? Like, was it?
It was Backyard something. It wasn't called Backyard Baseball exactly, okay. But you could have like snot pitches. I remember, effects to that sort of thing.
Right.
And you know, it was a fun younger game.
Right.
I played it to support Greg more than anything, but that series. That exists because it's a good kind of first step into baseball games. Because if you're a kid and you just jump into MLB, that's pretty deep. That is not RBI baseball, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that's why so many people are so excited about the new baseball game that came out in December of 2014, just a few weeks ago, as of this recording, called Super Mega Baseball, which has a very old school vibe. It's a digital release only on the PS4 and the PS3. But it very, very much an old school vibe with some good, solid baseball sensibilities. It's not a licensed game. It's got a bunch of, you know, fake teams and things like that and cartoonish characters and stuff. But you can fully edit all of the player names and things like that. I don't believe you can edit their attributes, but you build them up over the course of a season and things like that. So it's got getting a whole lot of buzz from people who you know, like and miss that element of a baseball game. EZZZ says Baseball Stars, Bases Loaded 1 and 2, Super Ultra Baseball 2, Sports Talk Baseball, and MVP05.
Sports Talk was pretty much what set up World Series because I did not play Sports Talk, but that had the Sports Talk feature in it, obviously, in World Series, which was still pretty cool at that time.
Absolutely. And the last one, this one from our good friend Scott Binns. He says, Ken Griffey Jr. presents MLB on the Super Nintendo was one of the first sports games I really enjoyed. I never even owned a Super Nintendo. And, you know, again, that's another reason why so many of the baseball games, of the favorite games of the Press Row listener community, I'm just like, you know, I might have touched it here or played it there, but I don't have a whole lot of deep experience. I've got a very large gap, you know, in my retro baseball library, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have a Super Nintendo until very late. I got I never owned it. Because I'm such a good big brother, I got a Super Nintendo for my sister for Christmas in 1994. It came with Donkey Kong Country. It was pretty late in the game. You know, because I'm a really good big brother, and I had no interest in playing that myself at all. I didn't get Super Star Wars because I like Star Wars. I got it because she'll like that game. I didn't get Final Fantasy III a few months later because I wanted to play Final Fantasy. You know,
look,
my sister is six. She'll love it. She'll love Final Fantasy III. Now, she was probably 9, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so Chris Baker, what is number one on your list?
Yeah, actually, before I get to that, okay. I think we should do one for our friend Kevin Larrabee. I know he's a huge fan of Base Wars.
Yes, yeah.
Which is another kind of oddity out there.
That's a game that I played. I did not own it, but I definitely rented it a couple of different times and had several marathon sessions with that. And I know that he and I are going to do a an episode of Back in My Play on that game. And I've actually gotten the ROM of it ready so that I can, you know, refresh my memory. But yeah, I had, like I said, I rented it at least twice, maybe even three times, and definitely had a bunch of marathon sessions, played with my friends. I loved, you know, some of the things about it. I remember it being really hard. Like, it was a very difficult game.
I remember my memory of this game. I know that's one of the many, many games that I would just rent for a weekend, beat it, return it, and never really play it again. But I remember I was looking really forward to it because I liked the whole concept. The concept of the game, actually fairly similar to baseball's 2020, which was Super Baseball 2020, was you're a team of robot baseball players, and you could, throughout the course of the game, earn money to upgrade your robot characters, and then at like a close play at second or whatever, there would be a fighting game where, you know, even if you just beat the throw, or the throw just beat you, whichever robot comes out on top, you're either out or you're safe. I remember really liking that concept, and it had a pretty cool kind of edit mode. I remember I made an Astro 1991 Astros team with Eric Anthony was our power hitter at the time. I don't know if you remember that guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I remember you could name the owner. You could even name the owner. It was John McMullen was the owner of the Astros at the time. Everybody hated him.
He also owned my favorite hockey team, the New Jersey Devils. Yep.
Oh, interesting. Yep. I do remember people did not like that he was not a Texan, now that you mention that. And then a good Texan named Drayton McLean, who owned a big stake in Walmart, came along and reshaped the Astros until he cared enough to put him in the American League, which another thing that's kind of made me a lot less interested in the sport. Yeah. Anyway, so I named, you know, the owner McMullen. But my kind of memory from the actual gameplay was that, yeah, it started out really hard, but, you know, you would kind of ease yourself into it till eventually it was kind of a level playing field. And then once you got really good, it was just like way too easy.
Okay.
Like home run every time you hit the ball kind of thing. So I feel like the balancing in that game was off. This is me 25 years later or whatever. So, you know, I could be totally off in my memories here. But that's why I think I was actually a little disappointed. I didn't really understand the concept of being disappointed by a game back then, but for me that was the case. Mm. I know Kevin would disagree with me a lot there. But yeah, that's kind of my memory of that particular game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I can talk about my number one, it was really hard picking between this and RBI, just because, you know, I have such great kind of personal memories with RBI. But the game I spent the most time on by far in my life is Baseball Simulator 1000, which one of your listeners mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I love that. This was a game that I remember Nintendo Power hyping up that absolutely lived up to the hype. I remember I bought it. It might be one of the very first used games I ever bought. Hmm. There was a touring, it was like a touring kind of shop that went from city to city with Nintendo games, and they set up in the Holiday Inn. And I remember I traded like two NES games in for that. And then I did that again for Dragon Warrior. Anyway, that's beside the point. But anyway, this game was, I think, the first game I played that had a really good kind of editor in it. That's only part of the reason I liked it, but I'll get into that. I guess it, you know, you could completely edit every team, and not in the same way that Hardball 3 lets you, where it was just like you could give everybody a super huge batting average. But it was kind of like doling out your experience points in an RPG, where you had, say, 900 points, and those went well, that's really low, I guess, amongst nine players. But, you know, you could dole out your points to amongst your entire team. So you could have like a 750 hitter and, you know, like a, I think 150 is probably as low as it got. But and you could completely edit their names. Granted, they were four-letter names. So, you know, you kind of had to use your imagination and know what you put in there. But I went through, like, box scores, and I went like team by team, and I edited, I think, you know, obviously it wasn't MLB licensed or anything, but it had probably 8 or 12 city teams, and, you know, it had Houston, had LA, and several others, and, you know, I just learned a lot about the players of that era just through going through the box scores, which probably took a good 4 to 5 hours of just time to, you know, manually input everybody's out. And it didn't always work out because you only had so many points. So, you know, you might have to give someone a 255 average when their average is really 275 or whatever. Mm. But I really enjoyed that part of it. But the thing that it's remembered for that is what really sold me on getting the game in the first place was what's called Ultra Play, I believe. And that would eventually kind of be the kind of slugfest and fix kind of thing where it was kind of superhuman, almost superhero kind of stuff that these players were doing. I remember one, you know, it had pitches. It had, I think, fielding and hits that you could do. You could throw a pitch that would, like, stop in the middle of its way to the plate and, like, totally throw off the hitter. You could throw a pitch that was like a fireball and went in at, like, 150 miles an hour. You could hit the ball and it would be a missile, and anybody got in front of it would, like, be taken all the way back to the wall and get knocked out. I remember one time I think the pitcher and the third baseman and the left fielder all got in the way of his pitch, and it, like, took them all out all the way back to the left field wall. It was awesome. Yeah. And then I remember the fielding stuff being kind of hard to pull off. But those kind of superpowers were, you know, go figure, the guy who would work at Marvel likes superpowers. But those gave it a lot of character. But the thing was, you could play like that, or you could play like what I believe was, you know, lived up to the simulator name and the title. And you could play just the regular teams. And it played a lot like RBI, but objectively better because you could, you know, move every character. Like, I don't know if you remember RBI, but there would be characters that just, like, watch the ball go right by him and you couldn't do anything about it. This game was a lot better in that regard. And the stadiums was another kind of big selling point of it. There was like just I think there was like a dirt field and just like a dome and like normal stuff like that. So you'd get like a pretty normal baseball experience, you know, high scoring because it's video game baseball at the time. That's just the nature of the beast. But they also had like a stadium that was by a harbor, and you hit a big home run, it would go kerplunk and you would see like a splash, which was pretty cool that time. But the one that I think it's probably best remembered for is the outer space field. Mm-hmm. Not only was this a small, like, I want to say like 200 feet to left field or whatever field, so there were tons of home runs, but it factored in the fact that it was in outer space. So it had, you know, you think playing at Coors Field in Denver is one thing. You think that helps it, a ball go over the fence, you know, play in outer space. So that aspect of it gave it a lot of character. And I would go back and forth. I would play like a really super high scoring arcadey kind of game. And, you know, a game that was like only 10 to 8, you know, on a normal field with normal players and that kind of thing. So, I really love that game to this day. You know, I don't have the time and patience to go in and update every character and that sort of thing anymore. But my memories of that game are just, one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah, same thing with a couple of the other games of that era. I definitely played Baseball Simulator 1000. I definitely rented it. I definitely played it because, like, the things you're talking about, like the outer space stadium stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally remember that. Mm-hmm. It was just not a game that I ever owned. And I just didn't put nearly the amount of time into it that I did in others. But yeah, there was Baseball Simulator 1000 was definitely a game that I remember struck me significantly because it was just so good and so different, mm-hmm. like you say, in so many different ways.
And well, yeah, I'll mention too that there was a Super Nintendo version, Super Baseball Simulator 1000, which I played years later after it was relevant because I didn't have a Super Nintendo at the time. And that just didn't do it for me. Hmm. As I recall, they took some stuff out. I don't even think it had the Space Stadium, which, you know, was a huge particular thing that really gave the first game a lot of character.
Yeah.
And it didn't work for me. And I was shocked because, you know, it should be better. But at least for me, it was not. It could have just been because I played it so much later or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, like we said, different games mean different things to us at different times based upon what's going on in our lives, how old we are, you know, where we are, what's happening, whether we're playing something, you know, single player or multiplayer. I mean, there is no right answer to this, but I'm sure I'm going to hear all sorts of reasons why my list is wrong. Speaking of wrong, the book by Chris Baker is called Wrong.
Ah.
Retro Games, You Messed Up Our Comic Book Heroes. Again, this is this is available on Amazon as a Kindle ebook, it is out there and available. And thank you very much, Chris Baker. This has been a real delight. I look forward to doing this again in the future about some other old school sports games. How about we have you come back on in the future and we talk about some other ones?
I could definitely do football and maybe throw some basketball in there. Not quite as well versed in that particular sport, but absolutely football. Sure.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely do that. Again, Chris Baker, thank you so very much, sir. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you on in the future. And I think it's not too late yet to say Happy New Year. So Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. As always, we would not be here if it were not for you and for the great folks at Operation Sports. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you again next week. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Medai at Pasta Padre. Polygon Submit Sarkar at Submit Sarkar. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Cat Bailey at @_CatBot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at ChrisSNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve_OS. And of course me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. We'll see you again next time.